Good morning, everybody. Genesis chapter 2 will be a starting place for us this morning as we move through several scripture on a topic today. I've got all the scripture for the most part that I'm going to use. It'll be up on the screen today, but if you'd like to follow along, I don't see anything wrong with that. It's a good habit to be in, to bring your Bible when you come to church, to be familiar with it, and so that you can make notes and all kinds of stuff and get moving in the right direction. January 18th, third week of January every year, is what has been proclaimed and set aside as Sanctity of Life Sunday. And this morning I want to remind us of something. Something that I think that we kind of get away from and that we're very much divided about even in our country today. But the premise that I want to present to you this morning and hopefully kind of bring us back to the moorings on this a little bit is contained in a little statement here that is very easy to say, but carries a whole lot more with it than just three words. Life is precious. Life is precious. And human life is precious to God. And that life that we're talking about now starts at the moment of conception and continues until the moment of a rightful death. God has a unique affection, a very unique affection for the human race that is different from anything that He feels for any other created thing. It's different. You might love your pet, but your pet is nothing compared to a human. And there's a widening divide in our country today on that particular element, on that particular fact. Today I want to look at why life is so precious to God. And just remind yourself of what you've got, what you have here this morning. The life that you have is a precious life to Almighty God. The first thing that I want to put out there, and here's a statement, first reason that I believe that life is precious. Human life is precious because it's God's special creation. Emphasis on the special. And with regard to human life, think about this. When God created plants and He created land animals and He created fish and He created birds and the sun and the moon and the stars, He simply spoke what was in His mind and it appeared exactly as He had it envisioned in His mind. He spoke all of that into existence. Planets, sun, moon, stars, animals, fish, birds. He spoke. One moment it wasn't here, and the next moment it was. He spoke it into being. But when it came to human life, it was different. When it comes to the life that we, you and I know today, it was completely different. It was a special act of creation in that. And the first place that we want to look in Scripture for that is one that's very familiar to you. Seventh verse of the second chapter of Genesis, and it says, "And the Lord God formed." Look what it says. It says that He formed man of the dust of the ground, and He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Folks, the imagery and the picture that we have at this point, at that point, when God spoke everything else into existence, He spoke, and things that weren't here got here. When he spoke, things hung in the sky that weren't in the sky before. But when it comes to man, something different took place. And the imagery and the picture that we have there is of a God that just rolled up his sleeves, and then he reached down and he scooped up the dust of the earth. And the idea that is contained there is that he took that dirt, he took that dust, and he formed it with his very own hand, that he formed and fashioned that as he would. And that as he got to some place there, that he was satisfied with the look and the form of that man, that he then took and blew life into that vessel. A vessel that did not previously have life, he injected life into by forming it with his very own hands. There's something special about that. There's something completely different about that than there is in the way that he put together the rest of creation that is out there. Let's take a look over here. Not only did he take up that dirt and did he blow breath into it and it became a man, now it goes on and tells us the rest of the story here. He could have stopped right there, couldn't he? But he didn't. And he went forward and he put the counterpart, he put the helper, he put that second piece that is so vital to each and every one of us here today. You see, the helper, the helpmeet that he brings along, you see. And it says that he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And as he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Look here. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, next word, made. Made he a woman and brought her unto the man. That word made means built. That's a literal rendering of the word made. He built a woman out of the flesh that came from the dust that he blew life in, that he took from the man. He took that rib and he built a woman out of that rib. Isn't that amazing? That tells us that something's different about this. That something is different about this creation here. He made, he fashioned, he built. It was very personal. It's very personal what God did here. Very personal what he did with this matter of human life that's before us. And it's completely different from the way he put Fido together. Fido was one way, but the human life he did differently. He did uniquely. He did specially. Scripture emphasizes a God who personally created humans. Take a look at Deuteronomy, if you will. 6th verse of the 32nd chapter. Do you this requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee? Same word. Built. Fashioned. Has he not fashioned you? Is he not the one that built you and established you? If you'll take a look with this term that we started out here with Genesis and run that down through the Old Testament, I'll tell you what, it'll open your eyes how many times it gets used. How many times he talks about building man. How many times he talks about fashioning man. How many times he talks about being personally involved in the creation and in the lighting of man. Second verse of the 44th chapter of Isaiah. Thus saith the Lord that made thee, that built thee, that fashioned thee, and formed thee. That's another word of like kind that refers back to the maid there. Formed thee from the womb. Notice where it says, from the womb. From the womb. That's talking about from the moment of conception. That's talking about in the womb. That's the beginning of that life, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, thy servant, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. The distinction between the creation of human and the creation of and the formation of the rest of creation is not meaningless. There is meaning behind all of this. It's at the heart of the battle for life that we have today. There's a battle that's raging, and it's a battle to stop. It's a battle to go against what God has put forward. And it's at a very elemental level today, but boy, which is aimed at the foundations of Christianity, is found aimed at the foundations of the idea that there is a sovereign God. This idea of life and the value of life and such, and there are being broad strokes hacked at that particular concept, and many among us are buying into this division and falling on the wrong side of the debate. It's what is at stake in the debate between creation and evolution. It's at the heart of that debate. The creation-evolution debate is life and the value of that life and the preciousness of that life. That's what's at stake when we walk away from the argument. That's what's at stake when we walk away from the discussion and allow the evolutionists to spew their stuff. If we believe that humans evolve from lower forms of life, then life is meaningless. It has no meaning. It has no value, if that's what we believe. Our value then comes from being, if that's what we buy into, then our value has to come from how healthy we are, or how productive we are, or how well off we are. It has to come from something else. If we devalue life, then it has to come from our productivity and what we can provide to society. Today we see a move toward the view that those that are unable to function on their own are considered unnecessary. And that move is rapidly moving in that direction. With everything that we have before us, and in legislation and all types of things that are taking place, we have those things on the book today, where folks are moving towards doing away with the unproductive element of society. Those that are a drain on their families, those that might become a drain on society, or those that might become a drain in everyday life, the move is towards just simply doing away with them. Because life is, after all, rather meaningless if we cannot be productive. There's a great move towards that. God thinks differently about that. Oh, He thinks so much differently than that. There's no comparison between the two. God thinks so much differently than that. Remember when Moses was trying to opt out of being pressed into duty? Remember whenever he was arguing with God, God was telling him what he wanted him to do, and Moses stood up and said, "Oh, I'm not an eloquent man." And he went on and talked about not being able to speak in public, and, you know, it kind of leads me to believe that he might have even been a stutterer or something in the way that he presented his speech out there. And he threw that up as roadblocks to God as to why he couldn't lead and why he couldn't go and talk to Pharaoh about this very important thing that he was tasked with doing. And the Lord said to him, "Who hath made, built, fashioned? Who has made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" Listen, he tells him way back then. He said, "I built you the way I built you. You're built exactly like I want you built. Don't you give me the excuses. Don't tell me all of these things like I don't know how I made you, like I don't know how I fashioned you, like I don't know how your speech patterns work. I built you. I know that innately. I know that intimately. I personally fashioned you. I built you like you are. And I want to use you just like you are. I have a purpose for you just like you are. I don't need the one next to you. I don't need the one on the other side of you. I want you just like you are for the purpose that I have laid out for you. Interesting, isn't it? He says, I made the blind ones. I made the seeing ones. I made the deaf ones and I made the dumb ones. And I'm going to use each one as I will. That kind of puts a different spin on it, doesn't it? God thinks differently. He has a purpose for every life. He has a purpose for every life that's in this room. He has every purpose for every life that's ever had life. He has purpose for that. You are how you are because that's the way He built you. He gives us life, and He alone has the right to take that life that He put there away. He alone has the right to do that. You know, it's one of the Big Ten, isn't it? Thou shalt not kill. That's one of the Big Ten. Do no murder, He says. I put life in, and at the rightful time, I'll take the life out. It's His to do with as He will. So human life is precious because it is God's special creation. Secondly, human life is precious because we're created in the very image of God. We're created in the very image of God. And God said, let us make, who's us? This is the first chapter of Genesis here. And the let us in this passage right here goes back to even to the very first verse. In the beginning, God, a plurality, the Trinity, present even in the beginning. And the Trinity says, let us make man in our image. A holy and righteous God, the triune God says, let's make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Man is over. Man is different. Man is special over the rest of creation. Over puppies and kitties. He's dominant over these. He is apart from them. He is above them in the order of things. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and fowl, and every living thing that moves upon the earth. God did not say that of hamsters. God did not say that of kittens and rabbits. He said that of His special creation, human beings. We alone are created in His likeness. And it doesn't matter what our IQ is, thank God. And nobody else in here has a problem there, right? Thank God it doesn't matter what our IQ is or what we can't do or how we measure up to what others are or our dignity. Our value is based on the fact that we're created in the image of God. To devalue or harm human life is to devalue God. And that's the bottom line with that. Devaluing a human life is to devalue the God in whose image they are created. It's an attempt to harm God when we do that. And He takes that pretty personal. He would take that very personal. We have switched the price tags on God's creation. We are in the process of doing that. I know that none of y'all never did that. Y'all had perfect childhoods, didn't you? You never went into a store and switched a price tag on nothing, did you? I'm the only one. That's what's happening across our country today. We have groups out there that are swapping the price tags and trying to check out with it. Friends, there's no swap as far as God's concerned. He's got an order. And there are levels. And when we then turn to other things with the evolutionary model and all these other things, then it makes it easy for us to swap the price tag then. But I'll tell you this, God will not stand for it. He'll not stand for any of that mess that we want to do. We devalue human life and elevate other created things when we do that. Look at this right here. This is a passage in the New Testament that you're familiar with. But just to remind you, It says, behold the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Next phrase, what does it say? Are you not much better than they? It's a rhetorical question. And the answer is, well, yes, we're better than them. Because we have value, we have a higher value in God's economy than the birds do, or those. And God takes care of them. God takes care of them, so how much more will He take care of us? And that's the whole point here. But underlying this is that there's a price tag. And the price tag that's on a sparrow and the price tag that's on a human life are vastly different. There is a large margin between the two. Go on. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? There's the rest of the story there. Yeah, there's a difference between the life that's here and this created life and this created life over here. There's a dark and stark difference between the two. What's the point? God cares about the birds. God cares about the snails. And God is a tree hugger, okay? He cares about the trees as well, but He cares about us more, okay? And maybe we ought to get that all lined up and the priorities right. There's no comparison between the two. Absolutely no comparison. God will never choose a chimp over any man. The life of a terrorist, listen to me, the life of a terrorist is more value and more valued by God than a prized racehorse. Now, we get down on people and we get down on certain things, but we also have to keep in mind other principles and other things that we have before us. We want to get on board with, you know, denouncing a lot of the mess that's taking place around us today, and that's fine, but we have to also remember that behind of that, there's individuals that God loves. He loves them, and He loves them as much as He loves you. And one of our responsibilities is that we're to pray for those. We're to pray for our enemies. And we're to pray for those that despitefully use us. We are to be cautious, and we're to be aware, and we're to be vigilant about what we do and where we go, and to take care and precautions and such as that. But at the same time, we're to pray, and we're to seek the Lord on behalf of those that persecute in those particular manners. Every life is precious to God, and human life is distinctive from all other living things. Number three, human life is precious because Christ died for us. He died for us. That may not seem like an earth-shaking thing to you at this moment, but think about it just a little bit. Christ did die for us. Jesus came, He lived, He died, He rose, He ascended, and He's coming back for humans, for you. You are precious to Him. Life is precious to Him. Human life is the most precious of all to Him. He died for us. The plan of salvation, that's the ultimate act of condescension. One who can do anything, anyhow he wants, coming, living, dying in place of the creation. Dying in place of the one that He formed, that He fashioned by His own hand and blew life into, He died for. The plan of salvation was not for termites. It wasn't for buzzards. It was for humans. It was for you and it was for me. He gave His life. He shed His blood. He died for the lost. He died for sinful people. He died for imperfect human souls. How valuable then does that make the human life? Of inestimable value. Each and every life that He gave His life for is of a priceless, priceless value. We were not a random creation. God was intentional when He created man. And He has a mission. He has a plan. He has a purpose for each and every one of our human lives. The plan has been in place for eternity, from eternity past, before we ever were, and we'll move on into the time when He sets up His kingdom on this earth. God knew us then in eternity past, and He designed us in eternity past. We were created in His mind and in His heart with a specific plan and with a specific purpose for each and every one of our lives. Let me show you something else here. Before anybody ever thought of you, before there was even a cell in your being, God knew you, and God had a purpose for you in your life. A design for your life, every day of your life. We need to be reminded how precious it is. Not just our own, but those that are connected to our own. Oh, how we take for granted so many times the ones that are in our family, the ones that we worship with. Life's precious. Every bit of it. The good, the bad, all of it. Every part of life is precious. That 90-year-old woman that's in the latter part of stages of Alzheimer's, hanging around, doesn't seem to have a clue about what's going on. Life is precious. Every day of that life is precious. God has a purpose for her being here every moment of the time that she's here. Child with disabilities, baby with defects, little boy with autism, little girl with Down syndrome. God has a purpose for that life. And that life is precious, every moment of that life. Folks that were once active and all over the place, now they're laid up in a bed in a nursing home, eyes glazed over. And you think, what's the point? What's the purpose? What? Why? It's not yours to ask why. God reveals things in His time. But there's a purpose. And that life is precious. It's not a throwaway. God uses that life for that moment. God uses that life for that day. God uses that life for that hour, for His purpose. And life is precious no matter what that life contributes to our society. Human life is precious to God, and that's a period after that. You are precious to God this morning. Every single one of you is precious to Almighty God here today. You're a mess, okay? You're a mess, every one of you. But you're precious to God. You're His mess. And I would say to you today to quit fighting with Him. Quit fighting with Him over that thing and run to Him rather than running away from Him. He formed you. He loves you. He wants you. You may see yourself this morning. You may be sitting here seeing yourself as worthless today. You may be questioning why on earth you're even here. What's the reason that I'm even drawing breath today? I'm nothing. I can't do anything. I'm this. You may be sitting here feeling that way here this morning, but God sees you different. God sees you so much differently today. He sees that precious part of Him that He's put there. You're precious to Him. He gifted you with life. The life that you have today, is a gift from God. Use every minute of it. Use every minute of the life that you have for His purpose. Don't squander the life that He's given you. See it for what it is. It's invaluable. And you are so precious to Him. What's His purpose for life? What's His purpose for your life? It's for you to please Him. Revelation 4 and 11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. You were created to please Him. You've been given the gift of life in order to do that. You're not pleasing this morning? Repent. Turn it around. Run to Jesus. Run to the one that loves you more than life itself. The one that gave you the life that you have. The one to whom your life is precious. Run to Him. Draw near to Him. Allow Him to minister in your life. There are some of you here this morning that have forgotten the precious people that are in your life. Mortality is a tough thing. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of how much we love people and how they need to know that we love them today. Life is precious. Oh, my soul, it's precious. You have people in your life, you love them, but they don't know it. Maybe you ought to let them know. Some of you at odds with people. You love them, but you're at odds with them. Life's precious. Today's the day. Today's the day to deal with that. Get it behind you. Sometimes we act so childish and foolish. Throw our little fits and all these different little things, and it gets in the way. Get it out of the way. As you're thinking about it here, and I know as I watch the film and been through these things all week, I don't know where all that water can come from. And I'm such a little dainty thing anyway. How could all of that water come out of me? So many people that I love and I care about, but so many that I've neglected. And there's some that needed a call, and there's some that needed a hug, and there's some that needed to know that I love them even though I don't agree with them. Huh? And you got the same ones in your life. I won't hold it against you if you want to pull your phone out and call them. You want to call them up and just say, I just wanted to call and let you know I love you. There's a good start right there. Because that life is precious. And your life is precious. And if you've got the down and outs and the worthlesses this morning, man, get over it. Because God's for you. And you are altogether something else to Him. And something special. Some might need to pull a phone out today and call somebody. Somebody might just need to walk across the room. Fix a relationship. Some might just need to run to an altar and pour their heart out to the one that loves them the most. Sanctity of life. Life is precious. Real life starts with knowing who has your life in His hands. The security of knowing that you're a believer. The security of knowing that the Father has you anchored in His heart. And if you're not sure of that today, that'd be a good first hurdle to get over. Give your heart and life to Christ. And let Him use your precious life. Others might need to get things turned around. And still yet others may need to understand that you are special to Him. Stand with me for prayer, if you will. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of life this morning. We thank You for reminding us that the person next to us is precious to You. Lord, thank You for showing us that every person in our family is precious to You. That people at work are precious to You. That the unborn are precious to You. That the dying are precious to You. That those that hate us are precious to You. Lord, we kind of get it. Human life is precious. Heavenly Father, we ask You to help us to value it. We ask You to help us to protect it. And Lord, help us to do all of that in a way that would bring glory to Your name. Lord, some of us have messed up. And Lord, maybe we've even messed up in this area of life. Maybe we've made decisions that we regret. I know that some of us men have pushed women to make regretful decisions. And so, Father, for making those bad decisions and pushing toward those bad decisions, we ask, Lord God, for forgiveness. And I ask You to forgive some men here for not manning up. Lord, we need grace. You knew it. It's the reason that You put together a reservoir that would never go empty. Lord, we pray that You'd dispense grace to us this morning as needed. Ask You to forgive us for our past failures. And Lord, very importantly, for strength for the journey ahead. Lord, help us to celebrate life in us and in those around us. May we see folks as You see them. May we love like You love. So now, Father, we commit these things to You and pray it. In Jesus' name and amen. Jason's going to sing through a little song here. As he does, we invite you to come and spend some time at an old-fashioned altar. If you don't know the Lord this morning, we'd invite you to come so we could show you. Life's precious. Where are you this morning?